This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How timing affects the impact of feedback. Why when you speak matters as much as what you say. In short, the moment you choose to deliver feedback determines whether it lands as guidance or noise. Emotional state at the time of delivery controls how much the other person can actually receive. The gap between the event and the conversation shapes how specific and actionable feedback can be. Timing is not about delay. It is about choosing the moment of greatest receptivity. Definition: feedback timing impact is the effect that the chosen moment of delivery has on whether feedback is received, processed, and acted upon. It determines whether your words reach the other person as useful information or are filtered out by stress, defensiveness, or emotional distance. I have watched people deliver perfectly constructed feedback and have it fall completely flat. The words were right. The intent was genuine. But the moment was wrong, and that was enough to ruin it. After 6 decades of watching these conversations play out, I've come to understand that feedback timing impact is not a secondary consideration. It is the primary one. The central question this article answers is this: why does the moment of delivery matter so much? And what is actually happening beneath the surface when timing goes wrong? If you understand the mechanism, you stop guessing about when to speak. You start reading the situation clearly. In this article, you will understand the psychology driving feedback receptivity and what it means for how you give and receive feedback at work. If you are also looking for practical scripts to use in these conversations, word-for-word scripts for giving constructive feedback at work is a strong companion to this piece. The surface versus the root of feedback skills. Most people think about feedback as a content problem. They focus on what to say, how to frame it, and which words to choose. That is the surface. It is real, and it matters, but it is not where most feedback conversations fail. At the surface level, feedback advice sounds like this: be specific, focus on behavior rather than character, and keep your tone neutral. These are useful instructions. They improve delivery. But they do not explain why identical feedback, delivered word for word, can be received warmly one day and offensively the next. The deeper mechanism is receptivity. Every person, at every moment, has a different capacity to hear and process incoming information, especially information that challenges their self-image or their performance. That capacity is not fixed. It shifts with emotional state, context, timing, and the perceived safety of the relationship, which means that feedback is not just what you say, it is what the other person can hear at the moment you say it. Understanding the root changes how you respond to the surface. How feedback timing shapes what people actually hear. Think of receptivity as a door. Sometimes it is wide open. Sometimes it is ajar. And sometimes it is shut tight, regardless of how gently you knock. Timing determines which version of that door you encounter. When a person is still inside the emotional heat of a difficult moment, their nervous system is in a protective state. They are scanning for threat, not insight. Feedback delivered in this window, even constructive and respectful feedback, registers as part of the threat. It does not matter how carefully you have framed it. The frame cannot be read when the window is closed, which means that giving feedback immediately after a tense meeting or a public mistake almost always fails, not because of the feedback itself, but because of when it arrived. There is also the question of specificity. Feedback needs a shared, vivid reference point. Both people need to be able to picture the same moment clearly. When you give feedback too long after an event, that shared picture starts to blur. The details that made your observation meaningful begin to fade. The person receiving your feedback struggles to connect your words to anything concrete they can reflect on and change. That is why delayed feedback often feels vague and unfair, even when it is neither. There is a third dimension that most people overlook entirely. The relationship between the two people shapes how timing lands. If trust is strong, a person can hear feedback in a wider range of moments. If trust is thin, even well-timed feedback will be filtered through suspicion. This is why the same manager can give the same feedback to two different team members and get two completely different responses. The feedback timing impact is not just about the clock. It is about the accumulated trust in the room. This connects directly to how you approach giving feedback in team settings, which I explore in How to Give Feedback That Strengthens Team Synergy Instead of Breaking It. Finally, there is the matter of private versus public moments. Feedback delivered in front of others activates a different psychological response and feedback delivered privately. The person receiving it is no longer just processing the information. They are also managing how they appear to everyone watching. That social layer consumes most of their attention. The feedback itself becomes almost irrelevant. Which means that even the right words, spoken at a reasonable time, will fail if the setting makes the person feel exposed. Bring these four forces together and you can see the plain language summary feedback lands when the person is emotionally settled, the event is still clear in memory, there is enough trust in the relationship, and the setting feels safe. Remove any one of those conditions, and feedback timing impact drops sharply. What this looks like in real situations. Here is where this mechanism becomes visible in everyday communication. A project coordinator walked out of a difficult client call that had not gone well. Her manager caught her in the corridor 30 seconds later and offered some feedback on how she had handled the client's complaints. The manager's observations were accurate and specific, but the coordinator was still in the adrenaline of the call, running through what had just happened. She heard the feedback as criticism on top of an already difficult moment. She shut down, nodded briefly, and nothing changed. The feedback was good. The timing made it invisible. A team leader noticed a recurring pattern in how one of his senior colleagues presented data in weekly reports. He waited 2 weeks before saying anything, wanting to gather enough examples to be thorough. When he finally raised it, the colleague struggled to remember the specific instances the leader was referencing. The conversation became abstract and slightly contentious. The colleague felt he was being accused of something he could not fully picture or defend. The observation was valid. The delay had stripped it of its clarity and its fairness. A senior leader used a one-on-one meeting to give a team member feedback on a presentation that had happened 3 days earlier. She acknowledged the presentation first, then asked a few questions, then offered her observations in a calm, private setting. The team member had had time to decompress from the event, but could still recall it vividly. She received the feedback clearly, asked a clarifying question, and left with a concrete idea of what to do differently. Nothing about the content was unusual. The timing created the conditions for it to work. In each of these situations, the surface behavior was different. The root mechanism was the same. Why most people miss the role of timing in feedback? If feedback timing impact is this important, why do so few people think about it deliberately? We focus on what we are about to say, not on who's about to hear it. Before a feedback conversation, most people spend their preparation time on the content, what to say, how to phrase it, what examples to use. That focus is understandable, but it leaves no room to consider the other person's current state. You arrive ready to deliver. You have no idea whether they are ready to receive. Preparation that ignores receptivity is only half preparation. We give feedback when it is convenient for us, not when it is useful for them. Feedback often happens when the giver finally has time, energy, or nerve to have the conversation. Those conditions rarely align with optimal timing for the receiver. The moment that works for you is not automatically the moment that works for them. Treating your own readiness as the only variable in the timing decision is a habit that produces consistently poor results. We confuse speed with effectiveness. There is a reasonable instinct behind giving feedback quickly. The event is fresh, the details are clear, and delay can feel like avoidance. But speed without emotional readiness produces defensiveness, not learning. The goal is not to speak as soon as possible. The goal is to speak at the moment when your words can actually do their job. You can learn more about how to structure that conversation well by reading how to use the SBI method to give team members feedback that unifies instead of divides. We underestimate the recovery time people need after difficult moments. After a tense meeting, a public error, or a stressful conversation, people need time before they can genuinely engage with new information. That recovery time varies by person and by situation. Ignoring it is not efficient. It is wasteful because feedback delivered before someone has recovered rarely produces the response you were hoping for. Awareness is the beginning, but awareness without application changes nothing. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emumblickthorn.com. Now, back to the article. What feedback timing means for how you communicate. Understanding this changes what you do in three specific ways. Number one, Read the room before you open the conversation. Before you give feedback, take a moment to assess the other person's state. Are they still emotionally activated? Are they under pressure from something unrelated? Are they in a public setting where self-protection will override listening? If the answer to any of these is yes, your most important action is to wait. Acknowledge the situation briefly if needed, then agree on a time to talk properly. This is not avoidance. It is accuracy. Number 2. Choose a window that is close enough, but calm enough. The practical goal is a conversation that happens within 24 hours of the event, in a private setting, when both people are no longer in the heat of the moment. That window preserves specificity without catching the other person at their most defensive. If a structured approach to that conversation would help, how to use the GROW method to turn team feedback into a synergy improvement plan gives you a clear framework for it. Number 3. Build the trust that widens the timing window. The stronger the relationship, the more timing flexibility you have. People who trust you can hear feedback in a wider range of conditions. That trust is built through consistency, respect, and the demonstrated intention to help rather than criticize. Every feedback conversation handled well, at the right moment, and in the right way, makes the next one easier. These are not new behaviors. They are the same behaviors, grounded in a deeper understanding of why they work. Key insights and next steps. The central insight of this article is simple feedback timing impact determines whether your words reach another person as guidance or noise, and that determination happens before you say a single word. Emotional state at the moment of delivery controls how much another person can actually receive, regardless of how good your content is. Feedback given too soon after a difficult moment catches people in a defensive state, where information registers as threat. Feedback given too long after an event loses the shared reference point that makes it specific and fair. Trust accumulated over time is a timing resource. The more trust in a relationship, the wider the window for feedback to land well. Public settings consume the attention of the receiver with social self-protection, which leaves almost no capacity left for the feedback itself. The goal is not speed. The goal is the moment of greatest receptivity. To build on what you've read here, the role of communication in meeting success examines how the right communication choices shape outcomes in structured settings. If feedback conversations have created tension or conflict that needs addressing, how to handle conflict during meetings offers direct guidance. And if you want your feedback conversations to carry through into real accountability, follow-up emails that reinforce accountability closes the loop. Getting feedback timing impact right is not a minor refinement. It is the difference between words that change something and words that disappear. Frequently asked questions. What is feedback timing impact in the workplace? Feedback timing impact refers to how the moment you choose to deliver feedback shapes whether the other person can receive and act on it. Feedback given at the wrong moment, even when accurate, is often rejected or ignored. The right timing increases receptivity and makes your words genuinely useful. How does feedback timing affect whether people actually hear you? When someone is still emotionally activated after a difficult situation, they cannot fully process what you are saying. Their nervous system is in a defensive state. Waiting until they have settled, even briefly, dramatically increases the chance that your feedback reaches them clearly and without triggering a defensive reaction. When is the best time to give feedback at work? The best time to give feedback is when the other person is emotionally calm, the event is recent enough to be specific, and there is enough private time to have a real conversation. Avoid giving feedback immediately after a tense moment in public settings or when either party is under pressure from an unrelated situation. Why does delayed feedback lose its impact? Feedback loses impact when too much time passes because the specific details of the situation fade from memory. The person receiving the feedback struggles to connect your words to a clear moment they can picture and reflect on. Feedback needs a shared, vivid reference point to be actionable. Does feedback timing affect trust between colleagues? Yes. When feedback is consistently delivered at the wrong moment, people begin to associate your input with stress or disruption. Over time, this erodes trust in the feedback process itself. Choosing the right moment signals respect for the other person and strengthens the relationship that makes future feedback more effective. What is the difference between immediate and delayed feedback at work? Immediate feedback preserves the detail and emotional truth of a situation, but risks catching someone before they are ready to hear it. Delayed feedback allows emotional settling but risks losing specificity. The most effective approach is to acknowledge the situation promptly, then schedule a brief, private conversation within 24 hours. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.